I'll share the title of the message here in just a bit. But before that, I want to ask a question, and I don't want an answer right away. Just take the question and hang on to it for a little bit, think on it, and then maybe we can come back to that. What would you say is the essence of sin? There could be varied answers to that, but just think about that question. What would you say is the essence of sin? And maybe explaining a little bit more what I'm asking. Essence. What do I mean by essence? Well, essence, as I looked it up, would be that which makes something or makes anything to be what it is, or the peculiar nature of a thing, the predominant part of something would be the essence of it. What it just as a simple illustration, if what's the essence of orange juice? Anybody care to answer that? Oranges, okay. Is there more than oranges in orange juice? There is, right? But if it wouldn't be for oranges, it wouldn't be orange juice. So oranges are the essence of orange juice. Now, back to the question, what is the essence of sin? What would you say the essence of sin is? And it's about Satan, we know that. But other than Satan, what is the essence of sin, would you feel, could be the essence of sin?
Selfishness.
She got it. First try. Selfishness. Exactly right. Here's a quote, and listen to it and ponder it. As God is love, so man in his natural state is selfish. That's pretty strong, but I think it's pretty true. If this is true, then we have problems, right? I think we have problems with selfishness. I have problems with it, and I think if you're human, you have problems with it as well. And as I share some thoughts, please hear me out. These thoughts are for me, not targeting anybody. One reason I am sharing this message is because of something I heard in our travels recently back to America. Soon after I was there one morning, I was at a place of business, and someone walked in, and the man behind the counter there that was running the till, the customer walking in said something like, "Good morning, how are you doing?" And the man behind the counter said, "I'm just living the dream." And that really caught my attention. And I think what he meant was he's just living the American dream. I'm sure all of you have heard of that, the American dream. And you probably don't get real fuzzy feelings when you think of the American dream. It's not really that much of a dream. But that was his response. He said, "I'm just living the dream." He said it real haphazardly. And it kind of hit me, and I was like, you know, I should probably say something about that or respond. And about that time, the man that asked him the question, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, as long as you're living the right dream." And then the man said, "Yeah, that's right." And that was kind of the end of the conversation. But I haven't forgotten that, and I have thought about it quite a bit since then. Also, in my travels, I've seen a person wearing a T-shirt that was splashed all across the front, "Living the dream." And it just kind of, once again, jumped out at me. And, you know, as I see those things displayed on people, as I hear people saying, as I see people living that out or trying to live it out, I'm pretty quick to say, well, that's not me. I don't say that. I'm not that type of person. But as I think about it more, I wonder, I've had to ask myself the question, you know, what is my dream? I would say for both of these people that I have talked about here, they were not living the right dream, I would say, from what I could see. But am I guilty of living a dream that is not reality or that is not correct. So now, what is my dream? What is your dream? What makes up the essence of your dreams? That's a question that you will have to just answer yourself. What is your wish in life? What do you live for? What do you enjoy dreaming about? I believe the essence of all dreams that all of us have is one of two things, and it's either self or Christ. If your dreams involve the kingdom of God and building that here on this earth, then I say keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. But if your dreams are about self and building your own little empire, your own little space, then I say let's wake up and let's quit dreaming that type of a dream. The title of the message is Not I, But Christ. Not I, But Christ. And so we want to just look here, looking at Scripture, at what the essence of sin looked like, maybe at the very, very beginning. And we can see here where self came in the picture. Turn in your Bible to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. And here is where Eve took of the fruit, and Adam as well. And we want to read these verses, and then let's look. And I want to ask you, pay a special notice to verse 6. And let's look at the things there that that were selfish, that drew her to this. Genesis 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So what were the selfish things here that Eve seen in this forbidden tree? Name them to me. What was it that she seen here? Verse 6. Did the fruit look bad or good? Okay, the fruit looked good, right? How many of you like good food? We like it, right? It's a good thing. So there was selfishness coming out. It looked good to her. So that was kind of the essence of what was happening. The food was good. It said it also looked good. It said that it was pleasant to the eyes. So there was some beauty about it, something that was attracting. And she liked that, and so that was a selfishness that came out, and also something else that it was going to do to them, to her. What was that? She wasn't obedient. That's right. She very disobedient. What was this fruit going to do to her if she ate it? Make her wise, right? And so we like to be smart, and Nat, I was blessed by your devotional this morning. You know, this whole thing of, you know, we want to try to be somebody, and it's okay as long as that somebody is glorifying God, you know. But I think in her situation here, and so much for us, we want to become wise, but maybe for our own sake. And then it says she ate, so there was a lack of self-control. She took it and ate, and then gave it to Adam, and he ate. So those are all things that are selfish things that took place here at the very, very beginning of time. Another example, and we'll just read that, is the story of Cain and Abel. Turn just the next chapter, chapter 4. And if you would, let's stand and let's read verses 1 through 10. Genesis 4, 1 to 10. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Thank you. You may be seated. So here is selfishness coming out again, very early on in time. Selfishness. The selfish attitude here that Cain took, it was of envy, it was of jealousy that his brother's sacrifice was accepted and his not. He had the opportunity to do right, to offer the right sacrifice, but he chose not. And he, envy and jealousy took over. And that is what caused him to kill his brother. The essence of jealousy is what? It's self. If it wouldn't be for yourself, you wouldn't be jealous, okay? And so we must realize that self just gets in the way everywhere we go. It's very important that we look at self. So let's make this practical for us today. And we could go to many other accounts in Scripture, and there are wonderful examples, but you and I must deal with self today. How does self look like in your life? What is the essence of life for you? What is the essence of life for you? What is the essence of your dreams? Remember, it's either Christ or self, and the two have a hard time mixing. It's kind of like you put oil and water, and you can stir it up and it somewhat comes together, but it won't take long and it's separated again. So they don't mix. So it's one or the other, and we must realize that our human nature, selfishness, is what shines bright and clear. I went down, and as I thought of things, as the Spirit brought things to my mind, I just wrote things down, making it practical as selfishness looks like maybe for you, maybe for myself, in multiple areas of life. And so I just want to go down over this list, and you take the ones that fit you, and the ones that don't, then that's fine. How does self look like in your time with God? And when I say time with God, I'm talking about Bible reading and prayer. Compare your, I call it, self time to God time. How does that look in comparison? How does the amount of time that you spend for yourself? And that can be a variety of things. It can even be staying in bed. That's self time. Now, we all need that time. We all need rest. But there comes a time when you have to get out of bed. And some of the fellows up here are smiling. And so there's a time to go to bed, there's a time to get out of bed. And we all enjoy the bed, probably quite much. They call it a lay-in here, right? Is that what they say in Ireland, a lay-in? Or a lie-in. A lie-in. And so we enjoy those. And I think they're okay, occasionally. But we don't need them every day or too many times during the week. So how does your time, your self-time, then look to the time that you spend with God each day? Look at that. Does it correspond? Is there a balance there, or is it pretty far out of balance? Bible reading and prayer for each one is very, very important. You must find that time and spend that time. How does self look like at the workplace? Now, we all do different types of work. Some of you are homekeepers, and some of you work with lads in the woods, and some of you make furniture, and whatever you do. What does that look like at the workplace? And wherever you're at, there's pieces and parts of your work that you really don't like to do, right? Whatever it is, let's just talk about myself here, so I don't have to talk about any of you. But where I work here during the week is just across the yard here, and we make furniture. There's parts of that work I really enjoy. There's parts of it I really don't care for. I don't care to have a stack of 100 pieces and have to cut the end of one piece in a circle. And to do that for a couple of days in a row, I just really don't care for that. I'd rather have CJ do it or something like that. I'd rather go build a little shed or a playset or something. And so whatever that piece in your work is that you don't enjoy, how does that look as it relates to self? Are you willing to stand for a day or two and cut circles in a piece of wood? Are you willing to clean that, whatever it is, that you really don't care to, that someone else would do it if you don't, or whatever? I'm just saying, you, wherever the workplace is, are you willing to do the dirty work, or what you don't care to, or do you leave that job for someone else? How does self look like in your relationships in the church, in the brotherhood? How do I function here in the church as it relates to self-life? You and I don't think alike quite often, but that's okay, and we can work that out. The brotherhood is a place where selfishness must diminish. How does self look like in your relationships now at home? And that can be husbands and wives together. That can be parents to the children. It can be children to children. We all understand, and we say that children are selfish, you know. They play together, and then they grab things, and they hold them tight. And children are very selfish, right? But we grown-ups, we've got it together. But I think we find ourselves becoming quite selfish among each other. Maybe even husbands and wives. How unselfish are you there? Even parents to the children. I have things that I think I need to do in the evenings, and then I'm, Dad, won't you come play with us? And can you do this, or can you read me the book? And there comes a time we have to have self time. All right, I'm not saying we don't ever spend time. We have to do the things we need to do. But I think many times we can probably lay that aside and spend that time with the children. We must, and we need to look at that. So look at that in your life. Is it balanced? How well have you done in that? How does self look like in your personal time? What happens when someone cuts into that? And I'm thinking of, for me, a Saturday is kind of a day that we don't work here in the workshop, and it's a day that's kind of my day. I can piddle around in the yard, or I can do whatever I want. But so just don't call me on a Saturday and we'll be good friends. That's kind of sometimes our mentality and our thinking. I was blessed, and I can probably brag on my two boys a little bit here. But Friday evening, a neighbor called and wanted to know if our boys could, or we could help them in a project that they had. And it was going to take a couple hours out of our day Saturday. And it involved my two boys quite much. And so I volunteered that we would, and then I went to them later. But they were willing to do it, and there wasn't any complaint about it. They helped, and it was a beautiful experience. That is, that's what needs to happen more in my life. Being willing to give up those hours of the day that maybe I was going to do something else. But as we help one another, God blesses us. And we don't do it to receive that blessing, but it just comes. How does self look like in the books that you read? All of us like books, some more than others. But then we tend to like certain kinds of books. Some of you like a certain style, and others another kind. But so whatever that is, books are good. I promote reading. I love to see people read. I don't read enough myself. But look at the kind of books that you like to read. And is there a bit of self that comes out in the books that you like to read or that you are reading? If it's novels or romance or if it's sports or whatever it is, look at that and be honest with yourself and look at self. Where is self in that? Do these books then come before the Word of God? Years ago, there was a man in our home church in South Carolina, an older man, that would read the Bible through, and he'd read it through, I think he was 70 or 80 or so when he passed away, and I think he read it more times than he was old. He read the Bible through probably over 100 times. And he said he would not pick up the newspaper or any book until his time in God's Word was through for that day. And that was a challenge. I'll never forget it. That's putting self on the line. And maybe that's what we have to do. How does self look like in the music that you listen to? I don't know what kind of music you like or don't like, but does it glorify God? Why do I like a certain style or kind of music? What is it that draws me? Is it self? Or is it because it brings glory to God? If it brings glory to God, then God bless you for that. How does self look like in hospitality, in your home? How willing are your doors open? There comes a time when we have to be at home alone with the family, I understand. But there comes a time when the doors do need to be open and we entertain guests. And maybe we're not ready for them, but that's okay. That's part of hospitality. Does self interfere with that at times? It does. It does for me. But we can work through that. How does self look like in possessions? And you say, well, we don't have any money here in Ireland, so we don't have any possessions. But, you know, we do buy the things that we want to, whether you don't have much money or not. We find things to buy that you like. And so we all have possessions. Are we willing to lend? Are we willing to give? And how dear do we hold these possessions of things? And then do these possessions, do they reflect God? Or do they reflect self? Is it the things that I want? How does self look like when you eat? Now, we're getting pretty close here, right? Do you have self-control when you eat? Do I have self-control when I eat? I think us Americans really like rich food, right? I think many of you would say our food is rich and sweet or whatever. And that's probably something that we could do better in. But are we more concerned about how it tastes and it's rich and it's sweet than we are about what it actually does to my body, you know, health-wise, down the road or whatever? Is there a bit of self-control that I can have? Or is it just out of control? How does self look like when you're falsely accused? Do you immediately try to defend yourself? I do, quite often. I want myself to be understood that that's not the way it was. And make it clear from start. But I think most of the time we do better just to zip it shut and take the false accusation, remembering that truth will stand, and we don't have to. It's okay. I think we can clear ourselves, but it has to be done in an unselfish way, with the idea that God be honored and glorified, and not myself. We have to be willing to be humbled, as we read about this morning, as Moses was. I have about four more here. How does self look like in your personal appearance, the way that you dress? As you dress this morning, as you dress, some of you are smiling. This is good. As you dress, how does self, what do you, when you look in the mirror and look at yourself, are you dressing so that when someone looks at you today or tomorrow, wherever, they say, that man knows God. That lady knows the Lord Jesus. Something's attractive there. Or is it to bring attraction to myself? I'm all for dressing nice and neat. I think that's a mark of godliness. And so we must do that. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Let's draw attention to Christ. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. How does self look like in your speech? As you speak, you know, people like telling stories. And they can be telling a good story about the big fish they caught or whatever. But then you have some people that are listening to that story and they've caught one that was bigger and better. And that gets kind of tiresome if that person is always there telling the story about themselves. That's just a little bigger and a little better. How does self look like in your opinions? I have opinions. Jimmy has opinions. CJ does. Everybody has opinions. Are we okay to give our opinion and then to let self just kind of rest with that, and to be okay that someone else's opinion might be okay too, and I don't have to keep pushing that? It's not the most important thing in life. And then one more that I have, and there could be a list of many others. How does self look like in your attitudes? Does your attitude reflect Christ, or does it reflect self? And that attitude can come out in whatever ways, whatever. If it's something that happened that you got a bad attitude about, or if you're, whatever it is, a wrong attitude does not do anything about bringing glory to God. It's more of a selfish thing that's happening. And if it's a selfish attitude, then it's a rotten attitude. And we don't like rotten things, do we? It stinks. And so we get rid of that. Maybe I didn't hit the one that you feel you're selfish in. And you know that one, if whatever that is. Those are just some things that I wanted to share as it stimulates our minds to what selfishness looks like. I want to just close here a number of verses here. Jesus even had to deal with self. It says he was tempted in all points as we are. Okay? So that meant that he had to deal with self. Matthew 26:39. It says he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not as self will, but as you will. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, not to do my own selfish thing, but the will of him who sent me. Now, the opposite of self, I would say, would be love. You could maybe have some other words in there, but the opposite of self is love. And I take that here from two verses in 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, and does not seek its own. Now, that's all about selfishness. That says that's what love is not about. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. So the opposite of selfishness is love. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, there's more in this world than just you. We know that. But sometimes we forget that, and I forget it. And so we need to be reminded. It's about the interest of others. What does unselfishness look like? And it's what we're called to live. Just a few verses. Matthew 16:25. Just listen to these few verses. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We must lose self. And when we lose self, we will find it. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Being willing to lay down self for the sake of a brother. That's love, and that's what we're called to. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. There's a number of illustrations we could give in Scripture as it relates to people that showed a very unselfish attitude. You think of Abraham and Lot. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. It wasn't about self for Abraham. He let Lot choose. Genesis 15:21. Now therefore do not be afraid, for I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That was Joseph to his brothers. After all they had done to him, he should have been had the right, you know, to repay them all the things that they've done to him. But yet he showed unselfishness and he cared for them. He said, I will provide for you and for your little ones, in spite of the mistreatment and the years that he was put away from them. There's other verses here that I could read. The perfect example, of course, is the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. That is an unselfish lifestyle. Back to your dream. What does it look like? What are you seeking? What is the essence of your dreams, the future, what you would want? Not I, but Christ. If you want an increase of Christ, there must be a decrease of self. If you want an increase of Christ, we must decrease self. Let's kneel for prayer, and then following the prayer, we'll have a song that's in your pews in front of you. Let's kneel. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're a God that has showed grace and mercy. And when we fall short of honoring you, when we are selfish in so many of our ways, we thank you that you don't give up on us. And we pray that we would be men and women, that would be those that would live unselfish lives, that we would want to portray Christ and not so much ourselves in so many of these areas. Give us the strength, God. Give us the victories. And help us to find our time spent with you learning more of your truth so that we can rise above our human tendencies, our natural instincts to have self step out in the wrong way. So I pray that you would give us the strength as we move ahead. Give us wisdom and understanding. Bless each one that is here. Guide them as we go our different ways. Help us to be a light and a testimony for you. So we commit ourselves to you. Watch over us and keep us for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I've asked Jan to lead this song, and the words are right. The tune is not the tune that we know, so I think we can sing the tune that we know, and that we at least have the words there. So, Jan, if you could lead that.